Acts chapter number 6 in your Bibles, Acts chapter number 6, and we praise the Lord for a new week, amen, a new week, and we're coming down to the end of the month, and tonight it was to be our birthday and anniversary fellowship for the months of March and April, so I hope maybe after the service is over you can have a birthday and anniversary fellowship right there in your home, Anchor Baptist Church family, and so we'll just continue to press on and see what God has for us in this week. But again, it's a blessing to be with you on Sunday, coming to you via live stream. That is the plan for the future for now. And we don't know really anything else other than that right now. And so we'll continue to do our best with what we have. And I must say again, truly thankful for all the effort that's being put forth. I will mention as well that we are today and have been actually making everything possible to have a ASL feed available for those that know American Sign Language. If you know someone that knows American Sign Language, Anchor Baptist Church Deaf Ministry page, Facebook page is where they can go to be a part of it and see it there. So Brother Charles is working on that and even interpreting now, practicing, and I believe it's ready to go and has been. But anyway, we just want to let you know that that is available to those that know ASL. I actually yesterday was in a grocery store in Port Coquitlam and bumped into one of our men that, not literally, but bumped into one of our men that, one of our deaf men that was a part of Anchor Baptist Church some time ago, and I'm praying that he will tune in and be a part of this meeting. We reached out to him once again to invite him to be a part of it, and he lives right out there in the area where we do, in the Port Coquitlam, Coquitlam area. And so it was a blessing to see him once again. That's the second time in a week that I saw him. The other time was at the bank. And so praise the Lord for how God brings us together to see one another. All right, we're continuing on our series, Portraits of Grace. Portraits of Grace. And if you're from Anchor Baptist Church, you may have the book and taking notes. I hope that you are. If you have it, if not, I hope you're taking notes anyway, whether you're from Anchor Baptist Church and or you're joining us from another place in North America or even around the world. And today, the Portraits of Grace lesson series takes us to the man by the name of Stephen. Stephen, and that's where we're at. We're in Acts chapter number 6. And the theme, the sub-theme is grace for spirit-filled living. Grace for spirit-filled living. By way of introduction, I just want to mention that when God saved you and when God saved me, if you're saved and you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, he did that to not only give us a home in heaven, but he saved us that we might live the Christian life spirit-filled. He saved us that we might live differently, not to continue to live the way that we did before we got saved, but to live a new life. And this new life is not possible unless we're living it in the by the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to see in Stephen's life, many of you know a little bit about Stephen's life, but we're going to see in Stephen's life where he went through so much and ended up giving his life for the Lord, and there's no question that he was a man that was filled with the Spirit. Now, also, when you got saved, when I got saved, it wasn't like the enemy, the devil, just all of a sudden said, you know what, that's it, I'm going to give up. I've lost the battle with Ben, I've lost the battle with Nathan, I've lost the battle with, and he puts your name in there. No, in fact, the devil has doubled down, I would say, working overtime. I know some of you have been working a lot of hours. We're praying for your immune system to stay strong in these days. And some people have been getting overtime, and you've reached out. We're praying for you. You know, that's what the devil is doing right now in your life and my life as believers. He's wanting to distract us and discourage us and ultimately defeat us into not reading our Bibles, into not being a part of a Bible-preaching, Bible-living church like Anchor Baptist. Anchor Baptist needs to keep growing in grace, though. We're not a perfect church. We're almost 19 years old. We'll be celebrating that in the coming days. We'll talk more about that as we get a little bit closer. But the devil wants you and the devil wants me out of God's will. That is his number one objective, to get you, to get me out of the will of God. The only way to be in the will of God, as we said earlier, is to be spirit-filled. Now, I'll tell you the quickest way to get outside of the will of God, and that is this, to depend on ourself, to live the Christian life. The minute we start to depend on our past or on ourself, self-sufficiency, right? Self-sufficiency. Whenever we begin to think like that, we are well on our way to getting outside of the will of God. We are well on our way to getting off the path that God has for us. You know what? God never intended for you and for me to live the Christian life defeated. Defeated. Oh, isn't it so easy, though, to allow defeat to take us out of the will of God? Now, no one goes through the Christian life without being defeated. It happens. Well, we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to live in that emotion, if you will. No, God saved us 100%. None of us, all of God. And by the way, to live the Christian life, it's none of us and it's all of God. And so they both go hand in hand. We have an enemy. It's a three-part enemy. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we can have victory over all three of them in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're going to see in the life of Stephen several phases in his life. He was a church member, he was a preacher, and he would end up being a martyr. And all three of those, Stephen needed to be filled with the Spirit of God in order and have the grace, have God's grace in order to live the Spirit-filled life. So let's take a look at the outline that you have there in your book. But before we do that, let's read. I forgot to even read, didn't I? I think I got on the introduction and didn't even read the scriptures. And we're going to read several other verses besides these. But let's start by reading Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now what's happening here is spiritual growth in the church. Not just spiritual, but numerical. Isn't it amazing the word multiplied is there? That's the way God intends for his church to grow. Not by addition, but by multiplication. How does a church grow by multiplication? Here's how it works. Pastor Turner leads someone to Christ. He disciples someone, whoever they are. We won't even give them a name. But he disciples someone, and then someone leads someone else to Christ. And then someone teaches someone else how to lead someone to Christ, and you get the idea there. It's not one plus one, it's one times one, and then multiplied that out, and the church was growing here in the book of Acts. It multiplied. The disciples growing, the church members growing. And there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And we'll stop right there. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord, that you would just calm our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us now to try to block out things that happened last week, things that are coming this week, and do our best to allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us something about the life of Stephen that we need for today. Oh, what a testimony Stephen has left for each and every one of us. We thank you and praise you for it. Please, Lord, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, help my tongue to speak properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, Stephen's grace to serve. Grace to serve. I wonder what it would have been like to live during the early days of the New Testament church. Here we find that Stephen had a front row seat to a growth that we were talking about a moment ago. This explosion of growth at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day, can you imagine this? One day there were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. You talk about church growth, you talk about church, an explosion of people. In one day, 3,000 members were added to the church. Acts 4 and verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we have 3,000 on one day, 5,000 on another day. And many of these people that are being saved are settling in the city of Jerusalem. This is presenting a problem. Church is, again, is growing tremendously. In Acts chapter 1, we learn about that. There was a great need. There was a great need, and the apostles had the wisdom to listen to the need. One of the men that they chose to help with the need was this man that we're learning about today by the name of Stephen. By the name of Stephen. He was full of faith. He was full of power. Look at verse number 8. We did not read that verse earlier. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. That's letter A, by the way, in our outline. Full of faith. What was a defining attribute of Stephen? What was a defining characteristic of Stephen? What was a character trait of Stephen? He was full of faith. At the end of verse 5, it also says he was full of faith. I wonder, could it be said of us today, 2020, April 26th, are we men and women who would be labeled as full of faith? Full of faith. You know what? God is still in the business of doing great things. Now, you think about it today. What is it that you need God to do in your life? Well, whatever it may be, take it to the Lord in prayer, believing. God can still do great and mighty things. And that's exactly what Stephen was a man full of. He wasn't full of Stephen. He wasn't full of somebody else. He was full of faith. Faith that God could do whatever it was that needed to be done. Hebrews 11 in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Same chapter, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Oh, might we today on this Lord's Day, ask God, like the disciples of old, increase our faith. Oh, hey church, we must have men full of faith. We must have ladies full of faith. We must have college and career age men and women full of faith. We must have husbands full of faith and wives full of faith. And you get the point, teenagers full of faith. We must be full of faith, and not in ourselves, but faith in our God who never fails. Full of faith. Stephen stood out. He was a man full of faith. But number two, or letter B, anyone, letter B, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. We see that in chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now think about it. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, same individual, then we too can experience the same blessings of Stephen. Now, before we go any further, I want to mention that being filled with the Spirit of God is not mystical, okay? And we don't need to shy away from the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity. That doesn't mean less importance. It means in the office that the Spirit of God holds. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is indwelling me today and indwelling you today. But He wasn't just indwelt by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Now, there's a big difference in that. Maybe you understand it a little bit, but let's talk about it a little bit more. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I believe honestly today that this is one of the main reasons why at times anyone, myself included, we struggle with certain sins. Because if we are filled with the Spirit, I did not say indwelt with the Spirit, but if we were filled with the Spirit, then greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I can be a conqueror through Him. Notice Ephesians 5:18. Many of you know this verse from memory. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Circle that word, filled, in your Bible. It has the idea of control. Control. Paul says there, as alcohol controls someone, so we want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God will never lead you or me contrary from the Word of God. He'll always lead us to obey the Word of God. He'll always lead us to submit to the Word of God. And so, if whatever you think is leading you to do something other than the Bible, here's a newsflash. It's not the Spirit of God. Oh, there are other spirits, okay? There's definitely an enemy, and the enemy can make himself to be an angel of what? An angel of light. Our enemy is very deceiving. He can make it look almost right. But because it's almost right doesn't make it right. Stephen was not only full of faith, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, church, today, we need believers in 2020 that are full of faith, but are also full of the Holy Ghost. Far too many people that name the name of Christ are living below the standard. What's the standard? Filled with the Spirit. How about you? Could you be living today below the standard? Oh, my friends, let's today decide. Let's pray even right now. You can even feel free to just pray. Stop listening to Pastor Turner and just pray and say, God, I have a desire to be filled with faith. I have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I've got some things in my life that are controlling me. I'm allowing them to control me and the Holy Spirit of God. I'm limiting the power of God in my life. That's the third thing that Stephen was full of. Letter C, he was full of power. Now notice the order. Notice the order. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And then he was full of power. You know what? I think probably if we look at those three things, the one that looks the funnest or the most exciting, is funnest a word? I don't know. The most exciting, you know, the one that's most attractive to the eye is what? Power. To be able to do things, you know, the power. You know, that's, oh man. Why? Because when we think of power, we think of attention coming on us because of what we do with the power. But the power of God does not come to someone who has no faith. The power of God does not come to someone who's not filled with the Spirit of God. To me, these three all go together and quite possibly build on one another. But he was a man full of power. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8. It is evident that God's hand was on Stephen's life. For the Bible says he was full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. Now, when we think about the power that was on Stephen, I want to encourage you this afternoon. The same power, dunamis, power, is available to you. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. There we go. So the Holy Ghost comes upon us. First, they got saved at Pentecost. The Holy Ghost comes upon them, and then they have power. Power to do what? Lift tall buildings with one arm. No, two arms. No, power to preach. Power to witness. Power to tell people about Jesus. That's what the power's for. Power to live the Christian life. Power to stay encouraged. Power to live on the winning side. Amen. That's a great song. And I'm on the winning side. No, this power was given not to ourselves, but it was given that we might live the Christian life to its fullest. That's the theme of it. Grace for living the Christian life. Again, I submit to you, too many Christians today are living the Christian life in their own power. And it ought not be that way. Too many Christians are trying to live the Christian life and not even be reading the Word of God. How do we expect to be healthy in the Christian life if we're not partaking of the bread and the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word? I will submit to you today, failure is sure when we are living in our own strength. You want to be guaranteed of something, live the Christian life in your own strength, and you're sure to fail. I've tried it, you've tried it, we've all tried it. Let's not do it anymore. Let's live the Christian life in the power of God. Stephen was uniquely gifted. Stephen was full of faith. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was full of power. He lived his life surrendered. Think about that word. To surrender means to give up, doesn't it? Give in. In battle, they would take a white flag and tie it to the end of the pole, and they would wave the white flag. And we still say that today, and we say that. What we're saying is, okay, I give up. I surrender. And I know our pride, and maybe we're playing a game with somebody, and you know, we don't want to surrender and say, yeah, you're the winner, I'm the loser, and that's it. We don't want to do that, but we all ought to be good winners and good losers, right? And no, this is saying, God, I surrender to you. I am not going to live in my way or my will. I surrender to what you have for me. Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power. Stephen's grace to serve. Number two. Big number two. Stephen's grace to stand. Stephen's grace to stand. You have your Bibles open there to Acts chapter 6. Let's look down at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Disputing with Stephen. Arguing. Opposition. You know, it was God's way was being hitting head on with man's way. God's way was meeting head on with tradition. Isn't it amazing that whenever God's way meets tradition, there's confrontation? When God's way meets man's way, there's confrontation. Even though tradition many times has godly terms, Bible terms even sometimes, interwoven in there. And yet when you try to bring the two together, it doesn't work out. And that's exactly what's happened here. Verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom, notice, and the spirit by which he spake. The wisdom and the spirit. Why did Stephen have that wisdom and that spirit? Because he was full of faith. Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Because he was full of power. Our culture is against God. I know that's an obvious statement. Stephen lived many, many years ago. Thousands of years ago. And yet he lived in an anti-God society, much like the one we live in today. Very little has changed. Stephen, I would say this, had a boldness about him that I would like to have in my life. A bold witness for the Lord. That's an obligation that we have as Christians. We have an obligation to tell the world about Jesus. But yet Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Did you notice that? Deceiving and being deceived. So even those that are working evil today, they're being deceived as well by the ultimate deceiver. Our father, those that are lost, their father, the devil, that's our great deceiver. We have an obligation today to boldly proclaim the message of the gospel. We have an obligation, letter A, as Stephen did, he stood with the scriptures. The blank there is scriptures. The reason why it was such a problem was Stephen wasn't giving men's words. He was giving God's word. And again, when God's word and men's words meet, there's going to be a confrontation. He was a man full of faith, the Bible says. You saw that, right, in verse number 5. The Bible also tells us, we use this verse sometimes every Sunday, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if Stephen was full of faith, then we can make a guesstimate there that Stephen was not only full of faith, but he was full of the word of God. In order to be full of faith, he would have to be filled with the Word of God. So he stood with Scriptures, meaning he saturated himself with the parts of the Word of God that he had available to him. And in order to do that, for him to do that, for us to do that today, saturating ourselves with the Word of God isn't something that happens by accident. It must be on purpose. I've written down several things in the notes here of my book of how can we saturate ourselves in the scriptures. And it's not in the PowerPoint, but maybe you just want to listen to these. Maybe you want to just jot them down. Really nothing new, but just something the Lord gave me, and I just quickly jotted them down. Number one, to saturate ourselves in the scriptures, we must read the scriptures. We must read the scriptures. Okay? Other than reading it on Sunday and Wednesday for church, when are you reading the scriptures? Do you have a plan to read the scriptures? If you don't, make a plan. Work your plan. Read the scriptures. That's one way to saturate. Number two, we can meditate on the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. How do we meditate on the scriptures? Okay? We talked about this, but let me just quickly. You find a verse in your reading. and you take a verse or two in your reading and you write them on a card or you underline them in your Bible and you think, what is God trying to tell me there? What is being said in the context of when it was written? Who is it being written to in that period of time? What kind of application can I make in 2020 for this verse that was written thousands of years ago, but it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? And again, just trying to let the wheels spin on this one verse or two verses. So meditate. Another way to saturate ourselves in the Scriptures is to listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I had an opportunity to listen to a portion of a sermon this morning on the internet. And I'm so thankful for these tools and normally do that every Sunday and every Wednesday. As a child of God, first and foremost, I need to hear preaching. It doesn't matter that I'm a pastor. And yes, pastors need preaching, by the way. But this is one way to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. There's always something that I can learn from someone. It doesn't matter if he's been preaching for 50 years or 5 months. If it's the Word of God, it's valuable. Stephen, letter A, stood with the Scriptures. When is the last time you got into the Word of God and meditated and read it and listened to it? You're listening to it right now. Thank you for being a part of this meeting. Look at verse number 9. We read it a moment ago. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. And what did they do? They disputed with Stephen. The end of verse 9. They could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. The group of people that he was speaking to, the Bible tells, is the libertines there. I just want to read something to you from Warren Wiersbe about the libertines. Would you just listen to this carefully? It says, Jews from many nations resided in Jerusalem in their own quarters, and some of these ethnic groups had their own synagogues. The freedmen were the descendants of Jews who had previously been in bondage but had won their freedom from Rome. That's these libertines that are there listening to Stephen and disputing with Stephen and disagreeing with Stephen. And yet, because Stephen was full of faith, he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of power, he was able to communicate with these religious zealots, these religious people, in a combination. It was a 1-2 punch. You know what the 1-2 punch is for God? It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's the 1-2 punch. That's what we stand on today. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. He stood with the Scriptures, letter B. When you stand with the Scriptures, letter B, he stood against opposition. Opposition. The opposition targeted at Stephen was mounting. It means it's growing. In other words, the devil doesn't just roll over when we start to get on fire for God, as we use that term, as we start to read our Bible. Hey, as you start to dig into the Word of God, as you start to saturate yourself, guess what? That doesn't mean the devil's going to say, oh, so-and-so, they're going through discipleship now, and they're reading their Bible every day, and they're memorizing verses. Okay, demons, back off. No. The more that we press forward for God, the more the enemy puts out his group against us. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you growing in grace to live the Spirit-filled Christian life. The devil would love for every Christian to live in the power of the flesh. The devil would love. I don't believe that someone who's living in the power of the flesh loses their salvation. We know that's not the case. But you know what they do lose? They lose their influence. And the devil would love for you to lose your influence. The devil would love for me to lose my influence. No, Jesus Christ saved me to live for him and influence those without Christ. So you're reading your Bible. You're saturating yourself. You're studying the Bible. You're in discipleship. You're in Faith Bible Institute. You are involved in all the things that you can be involved in. And you're listening to the Word of God taught and all of these things. Guess what? The devil is going to oppose you. The devil is going to oppose me. This is why it is vital, vital that we are filled with the Spirit of God. Because it is impossible without the filling of the Spirit of God, it is impossible to live the Christian life to its fullest. It is impossible without the filling of the Spirit of God. Opposition came. In fact, it was so bad that these men hired people to lie about Stephen. Look at verse 11, please. It says, "Then they suborned men which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they," what? "Stirred up the people." Verse 13, "They set up false witnesses." Who else? Do you remember who else previous to this people set up false witnesses against prior to a mock trial? Remember? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ set up false witnesses against him as well. This group of people, they couldn't get at Stephen because he was reasoning them from the scriptures. And so they decided to hire people to make false claims about him. The claim that they made about him was the claim of blasphemy. Again, false accusations aren't unique to Stephen. Jesus Christ himself, the same thing could be said of him, that they made things up about the Lord Jesus and that he said he was the Son of God. Of course, we know he was the Son of God. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Let's just veer away from Acts 6 just for a moment. We're going to come back there. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 5. As we consider living the Spirit-filled life, and we need God's grace to do it, and we cannot think for a moment that it's going to be easy sailing all the way through. But we know this, God is with us all the way through. Amen for that. Look at verse 11. "Blessed are ye," Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, "blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you," what? "Falsely." So if you get lied about when you're serving the Lord, just go to Matthew 5:11 and say, "I'm blessed. Peter, I'm blessed. Stephen, I'm blessed." And by the way, it will happen. If it hasn't happened, it will happen. People will say things against you falsely. And he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." You know, that's hard to do sometimes when people are lying about you, isn't it? But they talked about the Lord. They talked about Stephen. They're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about me. And as the song says, let's talk about them down on our knees. Amen. You probably remember the song I'm talking about right there. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." The persecution we face is often the instrument that God uses to strengthen our relationship. You think about it. If nothing came into your life, not one thing at all, like if your life would be like a body of water, we always talk about storms. Let's imagine my life being a body of water, and on a clear day with very little wind or no wind at all, if you go out to a pond, you can maybe see a little bit of a ripple, but not much at all. It's just still. Maybe you could hear a frog croaking in the distance in the evening or in the morning. You take a rock and you throw that rock. It could be a little rock, big rock, whatever. And as soon as it hits the water, you know what happens. It disturbs the water. And there's a ripple effect. Well, that's exactly the Christian life. There's no way you're going to live for God in this world and the God of this world, given permission to do whatever by God himself, is Satan himself. So here we are, we're functioning in a world that the prince and power of the air, and we're functioning and we're living for God. Don't think for a minute that you're going to have a smooth pond for your whole life. No, constantly, the devil has his demons, the devil has his goons and whatever else you want to call them, and they're around your pond with big rocks, and they're just constantly throwing them in. To try to disturb your life. Look, don't look at those who are disturbing your life and don't look at the rippling of the waves. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ today. Look at him on the cross. Look at Stephen as he's about to take his last breath. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. No, God uses persecution to bring us closer to him. Grace to serve. We've got to quickly get to the third one. Grace to stand. And then number three, Stephen's grace to sustain. To sustain. Chapter 7, we follow Stephen in the last hours of his life. Stephen, it is evident that he loved Jesus Christ more than his own life. It is very clear that he loved Jesus Christ more than his own life, and he loved Jesus Christ more than this world. Oh, that we might be able to grow to that level in our Christian life. We could say, I love Jesus more than my own life. I don't think we can understand that in North America yet. Maybe someday. But I don't think we can understand that level of persecution and what we're about to read about Stephen. Some have gone through a degree of it in North America, but not like this. Millions have gone through it around the world. In other countries where the Bible is banned and Christianity is banned, millions upon millions have died for their faith. They understand what it means to be sustained in their dying moments. I've only read about it. I'm thankful to read about those men and those women. I saw a video this week of Jane Grey. I think it was Jane Grey. Very young lady died as she was the Queen of England just for a short period of time and died a martyr's death. Stood for her faith. And many others in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Trail of Blood, other books that we've mentioned here through the years. But here we see Stephen had grace to sustain. Letter A, he was sustained in his preaching. Look at chapter 7 and verse 51. The Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Without apology, Stephen preached the truth. Look at that word there, stiff-necked. I'm sure everybody would love to be called stiff-necked. I'm sure everybody just in that group that day was just so thankful that the man of God stood up and said it like it was. I was listening to a song this week, and that was kind of the wording of it was, preacher, tell me like it is, was part of the lyrics in this song that I was listening to. You know what? That's not what this group was saying to Stephen. Tell me like it is. No, he was telling them like it was, and their reaction wasn't in a receiving of that message. God had called Stephen to preach an unpopular message. And by the way, our message of the gospel and our message of a narrow road is becoming less and less popular today. In fact, Hugh Latimer was an English preacher who lived during the reign of King Henry VIII. Latimer once preached before the king, and the king hated Latimer for his boldness, and he ordered Latimer the next week to apologize. Instead, Latimer preached the same message again the next week, only with more boldness, with more boldness. Tone down the message, calm down the message is the message of the world today. Unfortunately, it's the message of some people who call themselves Christians. Look, our message should always be scriptural. Our message should always be from a heart of love. Love for the Lord, first and foremost. And then love for our fellow man. But our message should always be bold. And so we cannot take that away. He was sustained in his preaching. And then lastly, as we come down to the last moments of his life, he had grace that sustained him in persecution. We see that in verses 54 to 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. In my other Bible that I used for many, many years, I have the word conviction written down beside that word, cut to the heart. That's what they were. You know, the Word of God is sharp, isn't it? It's powerful than any two-edged sword. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Can you imagine that? They got so angry, so upset with the preaching that was true. It just said it like it was. They were so convicted by it that in a rage, they rushed him and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You know, for the life of me, I have read this many, many times in my Bible reading, and I don't mean to chuckle at all, but I can't even picture that hardly. Here's Stephen preaching the Word of God, and the crowd gets so upset, and they gnash, and they run, and they gnash on him with their teeth. Let's get down to verse 55. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Do you know, we learn a lesson here from Stephen. When everyone around us is against us and the message that we are giving, don't look at them. Don't look at them. Who does Stephen look at? He looks at the Lord. I mean, none of us have ever gone through this, but maybe you've been to a door, probably not recently, but you've been to a door and someone's cussed you out in four different languages. They could do that here in Vancouver, probably. Someone has been mad at you, and someone has slammed the door, and someone has used vulgar language, and someone has cursed the name of God, and we begin to take that on ourselves. But you know what? Again, I believe Stephen teaches us a lesson that as we go with the gospel, we're not really even going with the gospel for the sake of the lost. We're going with the gospel because we love the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Stephen looks up to the Lord, as it says there. He said he saw the heavens open. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What a scene! The Lord Jesus standing right there as Stephen is about to die. Now, as far as I know, we see the Lord Jesus sitting beside the throne. Here he's standing. Standing for someone who's dying for him. Think about that. His last breath on this earth has his eyes fixed on heaven. And here's his last words, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Here it is, the last thing out of his mouth. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Can you picture that? The last thing out of Stephen's mouth is, Lord, forgive them. Reminds us of the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23, verse 34. Sometimes when a Christian lives his or her life for Christ, the Lord gives fruit that abounds even after that person's death. Now, most of you know this, okay? Look at chapter 7, verse 58. We're going to go back up in the text a little bit. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. They stoned Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was what? Saul. So here is Stephen dying for the Lord. Here is Stephen living his life full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, and his life is seemingly cut short because he stood for God. Oh, but wait a minute. Even his death served a purpose. Most believe that it was at this very time. I don't know that we know this emphatically, but it makes a lot of sense. It was at this very time, in this very moment, that while Saul was standing there holding those coats or holding those garments, that God began to do a work in Saul's life as he watched this man stand for truth all alone, as far as we know, saying, lay not this sin to their charge. That testimony that Stephen left would inspire, and in Acts 9, verses 3 to 5, Saul would be on the road to Damascus and a confrontation would take place with the Lord and Saul's life would be dramatically changed by the power of God. D.L. Moody once heard a preacher say, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. Moody determined that night, by God's grace, I'll be that man. If you know anything about D.L. Moody, he was involved in the ministry on two different continents. And it is said that he had close to 1 million people come to know Christ as his Savior. Stephen, really kind of a simple guy. First deacon, many would say, servant. Not definitely nearly as known as the one that he influenced greatly, even in his death. But by the grace of God, he lived the Spirit-filled life. And remember what I said, the devil is trying to destroy? The devil is trying to destroy our influence. Stephen died for Christ. But his influence lived on. And we have a New Testament in this Bible, and a man that was saved because of Stephen's influence wrote 2/3 of that New Testament. See? Live in faith, live by faith, live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and live in power. And even if you die for Christ, your influence can grow even while you're in heaven, looking down in the part of that great cloud of witnesses. This can only happen, though, by God's grace. We're saved by God's grace. We live by